Praise the Lord. Now, we sang that song, First Love, and then the use to this, because I got quite a few emails and telephone calls of people wanting to give up, that they just can't quite believe that God's going to do what He said He's going to do. And I really had to talk to each one of them and encourage them to keep going. And now is definitely not the time to quit. And we have to draw back to our first love. Yeah, we just have to. Because otherwise you're not going to make it. And you have to. And we know that the devil's been fighting us tooth and nail in every area of our life. And that song, Used to This, I'm quite sure there's not too many people who are used to spending an hour with a father. I guarantee you that, or you wouldn't be having the problems you're having, right? You need to get used to spending more time with a father and less time wallowing in your pigsties that you wallow in, right? So I'm just encouraging each one of you in here tonight to keep going. It doesn't matter what things look like. God has given us a promise, and His promises are all yes and they're all amen. Not just one or two of them, but every one of them. And we know God has told us that the enemy's going to work super hard right now, because we're getting ready to really step into the miracles. And he's going to work really super hard to try to get us to quit. The devil is. But God is working just as hard trying to encourage us. I think the prophet's name was Johnny Inlow that I read today. And yeah, where God let him see a vision where into heaven, where heaven's rejoicing. And you and dancing and singing, and we started dancing and singing and rejoicing. Everybody said that we're crazy, that shouldn't be going on, but I'll be crazy. How about you? You know, I'm not dead yet, and I'm going to rejoice while I'm alive. And then I'll just take a run on up into heaven, right? And because if I'm going to be gloom, doom, and despair, I don't think there's anybody in heaven that wants to see me. Nobody. Right? So I just might go the other way if I'm going to walk around with a long face and always grumbling and complaining. And we all know that the devil's testing us at every turn, especially our love walk. And how many? And we all have the thorn. We all have a thorn in the flesh, right? And sometimes you just say, God, this thorn's a little bit too sharp today. But we have to remember, we have to walk in love. I'm just going to tell you, the reason, you know, God dealt with me about, you know, I have a person in my life that's really set me over the edge. And I was teaching on, I think it's even going to be on this, about love. And God said to me, He says, how are you going to win that person to Christ if you keep doing what you're doing to her? Oh. You know. And He says, you need to go to her and ask her forgiveness. I haven't done that yet, only because I haven't had the opportunity. She's not been around. But, you know, once I sat with God and talked about that and said, yeah, God, I'll do that. And you're right. I can't win anybody to Christ if I'm going to scream in their face and call them names. And that's what I was doing. And even though, you know, God told me she wasn't of Him, I still had no right to do what I was doing. And what I was doing, I can't justify in a word anywhere. I don't care what you tell me. I know who I am, and I know my word doesn't justify me being ignorant to the unlovable. Because the word of God doesn't say love the unlovable. All right. But anyhow, I did that Saturday, and then Sunday, look what God did. Because He said, I can't use anybody unless they're walking in pure love. So I had to get that together and get that right. And then God just fell on here Sunday, and it was awesome, wasn't it? Yeah. But I believe, I really believe that if I hadn't admitted I was wrong and made my peace with God about it, made my peace with the person, I mean, I haven't talked to them, but in my mind, I've made my peace with that person, God wouldn't be able to move. So each one of in here, one of you in here, I don't care how justified you think you are by belittling somebody or yelling and screaming at them. you need to listen to God. You need to spend an hour with God. And you need to find out that you're wrong, not the person you're carrying on with. All right? And God even said to me, why are you carrying on with her when it's the boy that's causing the problem? He's the one that's bringing her into the house. Amen. Come on. So I had to make my peace with him too. You know, you guys just don't know how to walk with God. You really don't. You don't know how to love. You act like you do, but you really don't, because your heart is dark and it's cold. And you need to get that together, or you're going to find yourself on the other end of the stick. I tell you what I go through, so maybe that helps you go through what you need to go through. You know, because none of us are exempt from God's word. God's word applies to everybody, and I don't care who you are, what you are. And if I can't love you, then I'm sure not going to go to heaven according to my word. If I can't love my spouse or my children or my husband or my brothers and sisters at the house of God, how can I go to heaven? Love your enemies, right? Father God, I just thank you right now. Holy Spirit, I gave you a chance to move, and this is the way God wants to go. So, Father, I just thank you right now for all those who come out and sit in the house of the Lord. I thank you, Father God, for working with those cold hearts that are in here this night. I thank you, Father God, that as the word goes forth, I hope it melts those cold hearts, and I hope that they look at their life inside out and see where they're wrong and quit pointing the finger at other people. And Holy Spirit, you're here tonight. I know you are. And I thank you that you're changing hearts in here. I thank you, Father God, that you're healing us. Not of physical infirmities, but our hearts. And I thank you, Father, that this is a night that we will always remember. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, Father. Can I tell them what you did to me, Teresa? We're doing some repairs around our house. And we did the one spot that had the mat that goes to it. And then yesterday we was doing the fish pond. And then I have the swimming pool that needs to be rebuilt. I didn't go out with them when they started working on the fish pond. So they went back and got the liner to put in the fish pond. And they said, look how big this is. Isn't that beautiful? Look, Teresa Ann said, she kind of me, she said, Mom, the fisher think they're in Taj Mahal or something like that, she said. And I'm sitting there, and she said, pebbles are beautiful. And I'm just sitting there, she said, oh. She said, we had to cut it, though, because it was too big. And she looked at me, she said, oh. Did we use a swimming pool liner in the fish pond? The swimming pool liner is $800. The fish pond liner is $200. I went outside and there's my poor little fish swimming pool cut up, laying all over the place. They already had it in the fish pond, and we have a leak. So we have to go back and take all that out. Because you know anything at all about swimming pools, you cannot put a swimming pool liner in a fish pond. I really had to sit and bite my tongue. Might as well take $800 and burn it. She felt so bad, so I didn't really say anything to her. But I said, God. You have four grown-ups out there. Didn't want them to know that they had the wrong liner. Everybody knows a fish pond liner is plain black and real heavy, right? You all know that, don't you? If you don't, it is. And when you buy a swimming pool liner, you know, the swimming pool, the wind last year blew it apart. You get the swimming pool itself. Then you have to buy the foam that goes inside the swimming pool. Then you have to get the foam that goes around the bottom, the edge of the swimming pool. Then you have to get a felt liner that goes in there. Then you finally put the liner in so you don't tear it. Anyhow, I'm going to invite Aaron up for supper and he's going to help us redo it. See, Teresa, that just set the stage. They laugh now. Anyhow, everything's good to go. Everything's reordered and money's not flowing. But the water will be sometime. See, you just don't have problems. You just think you do. My fault. I should have been out there. But see, there was people out there I didn't want to see. So I stayed until they left. It was just long enough for them to cut the liner, put the wrong liner in. Oh, well, life goes on, doesn't it? It just turns around and around and around. I'm trying to make them see, Teresa, that somebody's problem is worse than theirs. And Teresa, I'm so thankful I didn't yell and scream and carry on. But I promised God I wouldn't do that no more. Amen. You can't. Well, she couldn't glue it back together again. All right, let's talk about battlefields. Are y'all relaxed now?
Yes.
All right. And please don't look at Teresa and say, you really did that. Because she really did. But the bad part is, you know, I have koi, and they got pretty big. And the one when we transferred them to the one pond over to the thing till we got it fixed, we didn't know the one was pregnant and she died. So I lost one of my big koi. That was worse than a liner, to tell you the truth. Okay, let's talk about battlefields. All right, God said, this is God speaking, battlefields. There are different kinds of battlefields. You have the battlefield of the mind, battlefield of your emotions, battlefield of decisions, battlefield of different loves, battlefields of whom you can trust. And he says, and God said, prayer puts you on a spiritual battlefield where you have to prevail. Okay. He said, I want my church to have only one battlefield, and that is the battlefield of destroying the enemy's camp, not each other. Every other battlefield is sinking sand. Children, I have every battle under my control. I know exactly how each and every one will turn out. Turn your battles into chances to praise me. That was a battle yesterday. And Aaron, what do you keep saying to me? All is well or something like that. He just trying to keep me unsimmered. You've been proud of Aaron yesterday because he was real cool, you know, and he's, I don't know what he did. He just kept saying something spiritual to me, but, and he kept me calmed down. All right, God said, turn your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh your help and keep them there. In Psalms 121, so what did God say? Turn your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh your help and keep them there. Psalms 121, 1 and 2 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills from whence does my help come. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Where does your help come from? Right. You know, it's not from other people. It's always from God. So keep your eyes upon him no matter what you're going through. God said, never for one second deviate from the path I have placed your feet upon. The enemy is running scared. See that? We have to believe that because it's the truth. You say, I don't see that. And that is because you are not looking into the spirit realm and seeing as I see. You will notice that every time you start an uphill momentum, all of a sudden you find yourself sliding back down into the darkness. We've all been there at different stages in our walk with God, haven't we? And God said, that is because your heart is not fixed on me. That's why you find yourself sliding back, because your heart's not fixed on God. God said, if it was fixed on me, you would stay on level ground and there would be no chance for the enemy to trip you up. And that is the honest truth. It came from God's mouth, but if he didn't even say that, we know that's the honest truth just by reading his word. And Psalm 57:7 says, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is steadfast and confident. I will sing and make melody." I think some of you in here tonight, even the sound of my voice, you need to fix your heart upon God. And then you wouldn't be going off in your flesh all the time. And then the rest of Scripture says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Have I not commanded you?" God said the enemy goes to great lengths to make sure he keeps you in a state of confusion. He makes sure you are distracted on all sides, and he definitely makes sure he causes you to stumble in your love walk. And I know some of you are stumbling in your love walk tonight. You're not where you should be in your love walk, and that's what's keeping you in that state of confusion, and I'm hearing God's hand derision, and you can't stay in peace because your love walk with God is not right. You know, it really amazes me how some people won't admit they're mad at God. Because if I admit I'm mad at God, then I might be struck dead. You know, God knows you're mad at him. You're seething deep down inside, mad at him. But Jesus won't say that. Instead, you take all that hatred out on somebody else instead of on God, because you know you don't dare touch God. You need to come to grips with that. The reason why that you're so ignorant, you yell and you scream, is because you're upset with God. Sometimes you're upset. When I did that, I was in that period here just recently. I was upset with myself because I allowed this circumstance to come upon me. Have you ever been there? You know, you say, how dumb can you get? You allow that circumstance to come, and then it overtook you, and then you have to really work really hard to get back to normal again, right? 2 Corinthians 1:10 says, "For it is he who rescued and saved us from such a perilous death, and he will still rescue and save us. In and on him we have set our hope, our joyful and confident expectation that he will again deliver us from danger and destruction and draw us to himself." You know, those people I talked to today, I couldn't believe how they were so ready to throw in the towel. You know, it was sad. They walked years with God, and all of a sudden, they just don't think it's worth it anymore. Because after all, God hasn't showed up, and God hasn't, I don't see how many promises coming to pass. Isn't it a shame? You never will if you throw in the towel. But if you just stay the course, you're going to see all his promises come to pass in your life. They just are going to come if you stay the course. Satan sends confusion when you seek to do God's will. Excuse me. Things that are clearly God's will for you, that God keeps on telling you to do in prayer, becomes confusing. Things that should be so obvious to you, Satan starts planting seeds of doubt and wonder. Let's read that again. Satan sends confusion when you seek to do God's will, period. Things that are clearly God's will for you, that God keeps on telling you to do in prayer, becomes confusing, period. Things that should be so obvious to you, Satan starts planting seeds of doubt and wonder. Now, did you understand that? You know, God keeps telling you, know it's God's will, but the next thing you know, you're questioning, God, is this really you? Is this really your will? You know, and that Satan is planting those seeds so that you don't stay in God's perfect will. And God said, and he definitely makes sure he causes you to stumble in your love walk. If you can't love your father, then you cannot love anyone. What does my word tell you about love? Mark 12:28. I'm going to be honest with you. When God started dealing with me about this situation I'm in, I said, Father, I really love you. He said, do you? I said, yes. He said, no, you don't. If you can't love this person that's unlovable, you don't love me. If you can't have compassion for this person, then you don't love me. If you won't show this person the same grace that I showed you, you do not love me. And he's right. He's really right. And, you know, so him and I had a little talk, and I told him I was wrong, and I told him I was sorry, and we went on from there. And I feel great. I really do feel great. I can be around that person and not want to rip her head off. You know, and that's where I was at. You know, I walked into a room and looked at that person. I just wanted to walk over there and disassemble her. You know, I'm just being honest. And that's why God said, and that's why God said, you know, you can't justify that. I've lost my place. So anyhow, Mark 12:28 says, Teresa feels the same way too. So, you know, I wasn't in the boat all alone. I don't know where she's at, but I got out of the boat. Our Mark 12:28 says, and one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? And Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. You should love who as yourself? Your neighbor. But see, a lot of you don't love yourself, so you're sure not going to love that neighbor, right? I find people don't love themselves, and they can't love anybody else either. In John 13:34, God said, a new commandment, well, this is Jesus speaking, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, come on, this girl, I'm yelling, screaming in her face, calling her names, and I'm a pastor. Come on. What does it say? By all this we'll know that you are my disciple. If you have love for one another. And she made the statement to somebody else, I don't understand why she doesn't like me. You know, what an example of Christ. I wasn't. And I know I'm not the only one in that boat. So let's get this together. God told me the other day, he said, I cannot drop my glory in all of its fullness upon anyone that is not walk in the love walk. And you have to love the unlovable. What a lesson. I hear God say, of humility. Come on. So who are your enemies? You better start loving him. Jesus went on to say, what is the gross darkness that I spoke about? It is hate in its fullness. Hate is more prevalent than love in the land today. The very thing I stand for, which is love, the enemy has trampled underfoot. My church is also guilty of hate. Church, you need to cleanse your hearts of all this dark sickness and allow my Holy Spirit to cleanse the inside of the cup. And Matthew 23:26 says, you blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanliness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. There are people in the Lighthouse Church that this fits. This describes you. There are people listening to my voice. It describes you. God is not pleased with any of this. And God goes on to say, I'm a God of my word, and I lie not. I tell you a truth. You are deceitful on all sides, and you have yourself fooled into believing nobody sees. But I see, and I know all, and I am judging the house of Israel. Even as I speak, the house of Israel is the house of God. And Proverbs 15:3 said, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. See that? The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch of the evil and the good. Hebrews 4:13 says, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. in Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard you saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. I wasn't thinking anything about this person. I've just seen all the ugly. I wasn't seeing anything pretty anywhere. And some of you have done that, or maybe you're doing that too. You know, I was having a sort of a meeting with Aaron and Adriana, and we was talking about godly things in the church. And Tracy was there, and she was talking, and I was saying that we have to really get ourselves cleansed so that, you know, the enemy can't use us to embarrass God, you know, when the glory drops. And so Tracy brought up a story that happened with her, and that she did in the church, and the more she talked about, the angry she got, didn't she? I said, honey, I'm over it. And I said, no, you don't look how angry you are just talking about it. And so you see the anger's still there. Even though the person is nowhere around, the anger is still there. And I said, you're going to have to get rid of that, right? God said, you are nothing but dead men walking this earth, you know, if you don't have love. James 4:7 says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. A lot of you don't submit yourself to God. You're like me, you start screaming. And my grandson said to me, Mom, stop. You've never screamed. You've never raised your voice. And that's all you do anymore, scream. He was right. And he started crying. He said, please don't do that no more, Mom. This is not you. And I said, no, it's not. You know, be honest. But he even sat down and talked to me about it. He's involved in the whole situation. He said, I'm so sorry that I'm part of all this. But so see, you know, your loved ones who know you, then you turn into this raving maniac. You know, and they know that you've walked with God all your life, and all of a sudden you're a raving maniac. What do you think that's doing to them? What kind of confusion do you think that's bringing into their mind? So I made a covenant with him. I said, I won't scream no more, baby, I promise. That's why I didn't scream about the liner. No, that's not true. But I have made a covenant with him. I said, honey, I won't ever scream again. I promise. I won't raise my voice. And I said, I know that's not godly. And I'm so sorry. But yet I can't erase what I did, you know. That memory's there now. And so, that, you know, I've always taught, you know, don't do something you're going to be sorry for later. And I'm sorry for what I did and how I handled myself. But it's done. And now I just have to start live with it. This person could go outside somewhere and tell people she's a raving maniac, right? You don't want to go to her church. She probably doesn't want to go to church. Did I read all that? Where am I at? James 4:7-10? Am I on verse 8? All right, well, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. See, this is what he said earlier. Humility is where it's all at. If you humble yourself to the unlovable and say, I'm so sorry. This is going to be the second time God's made me do that. Remember, I had to do it to my first husband. And she might spit in my face too. I don't know what I said. But that's something I have to do. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. And the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Remember up here, God said, you're nothing but dead men walking this earth when you don't have the love of God in you. Verse 2 says, and he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, and he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore, and I believe a lot of the body of Christ feels that way. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. I read that because we need to understand. God said we are dead men walking if we can't walk in love. But if we go to God and we confess to God that we are not lovable, we ourselves are not lovable, and we are not spreading the love of God, God can breathe on us and bring life back into our very being, and he could cause us to be vessels of love and honor. God said, I am calling forth the dry, dead bones to come alive into my resurrection power and bring in this end time harvest of lost souls. So right there he says, I am calling forth the dry, dead bones to come alive into my resurrection power and bring in this end time harvest of lost souls. I am calling from the very depth of my heart. Are you listening? Are you hearing this deep calling on, call on the deep message this day? Are you really hearing God's call to love? Love the unlovable. You know, be like Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Jesus never worried about what he was going through. He just knew he had an assignment to fulfill. And I'm surprised I've even done what I've done, because I'm not that type of person. But I know that we are in the end times. Sunday, whenever I had my foot on somebody's foot and God was prophesying to him laying here, God said, you are in the time of two are working in the field and one is taken and one is left. So what God is saying, that we are living in the end times of Jesus Christ coming back for his people. And God is doing a lot of things, but Satan is doing a lot of things too. And Satan is doing everything he can. If you have a true anointing upon your life and a strong calling to go out there and win the lost and to bring love to those lost and dying people, the enemy's trying really hard to take you out. Are you going to let him do that? Or are you going to be honest with yourself and say, God, I'm about the most hateful person ever lived, and I'm spreading my filth to everybody that's around about me, and I'm really sorry, and I need you to come and breathe new life on these dead bones. Amen. So there is a deep place of deep intimacy with God Almighty, where spirit calls unto spirit, and this is where we're at. To experience a deeper dimension of God's presence, your soul must hunger and thirst for God. And if you're fighting and you're carrying on with your spouse, your children, your brothers and sisters in the house of God, even somebody just comes to your house, then you're not hungering for the deep things of God. You've given your body over to the enemy to use you to destroy. All right? Intimacy with God is found only in the realm of the spirit. And if you're yelling and screaming, you're not in the spirit. Are you? You're in the spirit, all right, but not the spirit of God. You're not in the right spirit. To experience a deeper dimension of God's presence, your soul must hunger and thirst for God in the same way a deer pants for the safety and sustenance of water. Only a small percentage of believers ever really experience this kind of intimacy with God. because of the price. It's really hard to love somebody that's destroying somebody you love. And especially when God said, they're not mine, and they were sent to destroy your loved one, then you're watching it happen. And then you have, after you yell and scream and tell them what they are, then God says, now you have to go and ask Him to forgive you. Do you know how hard that is? But you, like I said, with my first husband, when I went to him and just asked him to forgive me for talking about him, he said, I don't know if I want to or not. I wanted to slap his face. I'm being honest. But I stayed there on my knees in front of him until I got myself together. And then I stood up and said, that's okay. Because I felt a really heavy burden fall off my shoulders. I asked him to forgive me. That was my part, and I was finished. What he did with it is up to him. And you know what? I was light as a feather from then on. And I didn't even think about the fact, but I even said, God, why do I have to go do that? Because he's the one that's sinning, not me. He said, when you're talking about your brother, you're sinning too. Hello. Some of you women need to get your mouth washed because you're just as bad as the person you're talking about. Okay, only a small percentage of believers ever really read that. Let's go to Psalm 42, verse 1. As the hart or the male red deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? God said, I am calling from the very depth of my heart. Are you listening? And I read that before. Are you hearing this deep call and the deep message this day? You know, God doesn't want your false pretense. If you're not loving your loved ones, and you know, the church, brothers and sisters are loved ones too, right? Then God doesn't really want you. Until, and I'm telling you, because this is the way God dealt with me, until you can get your love walk right, don't go to him and say, oh, God, I love you. And, you know, don't even bother doing that, because not unless you're different than me. Because God tells me, daughter, do you go back there and get that right? Don't come and tell me how much you love me. Because I've commanded you to love the unlovable. I've commanded you to love those around about you. Are you listening? Psalm 42:7 says, deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. Only a call from the depths can provoke a response from the depths. Read that again. Only a call from the depths can provoke a response from the depths. Nothing shallow can ever touch the depths, nor can anything superficial touch the inward parts. You're going to have to be real. I'm sorry. Quit putting on your faces. Just put on your one thing in a church, another thing in your home, or another thing at work. You know, I am who I am. Aren't I am who I am, Aaron? I just don't put on. I just am who I am. And I don't put on any airs. Why do I have to put on airs? I'm a child of God. I you know, if you smack me, I hurt. Same as you would. You know, if you stick a pin in me, you know, that would hurt. I'm human. And I make mistakes just like you do. But I know I have to go back and get to correct those mistakes. I have to go apologize to somebody something I didn't do, but because I'm involved, I have to go apologize to that person that allowed it to happen. And I don't mind doing that because I know they're not going to accept it right away, but they will eventually. It's going to heal a deep wound. Are you understanding this? Do you understand it? Isn't that true, Teresa? Come on. You know, if you're going to walk deep with God, then you have to be like Jesus. Not just every now and then, but every day you have to be just like Jesus. And every day Satan's going to come with that little thorn and twist it a little bit, stick it a little bit deeper, trying to make you not be just like Jesus. Who are you? You have to ask yourself, who am I really? Do I portray Jesus Christ? Come on. Who am I really? Or am I still a piece of flesh that hasn't died yet. Deep is calling to deep, God said. Spirit is calling to spirit. You can no longer stay on the level that you're on right now. You have to go deeper with God. Because God, he says, I take you from glory to glory to glory. It's never going to end. You know, it won't end when we go up with Jesus. So that you're never at a right place, because there's always something deep. This is what God told me. Daughter, don't be content in these places, because there's something deeper I want to take you into. And then when you go into that deeper thing, then he'll say, okay, now we have something even deeper that you have to go into. You're always growing in Christ. You never attained, because there's always more to grow in. And Jesus is so vast. You know, he's so vast that there's no way we can even get everything while we're here on this earth. If you make it to heaven, because I tell my kids, I don't know if I'm going to make it to heaven. When I'm screaming, I might die and go to hell. I could have a heart attack and go to hell, right? That when I'm screaming like a maniac, I'm not going to go to heaven. So I said, the Bible says I have to work out my salvation daily, right? So I just get up every morning and hope and pray to God I can make it through the day without dying and staying close to Jesus. You're all human. You go through these feelings too, all these emotions. And how are you going to win the loss if you go out there and say, well, I'm a spirit. You can't do that. You have to go out there and be human and say, I hurt too. You know, I know where you're at. I'm sorry. But isn't that the way some Christians do? They go out there and they just act like, oh, I'm so godly. And all the time, they're just as dirty inside as they can be. Where are you at? Are you learning anything, Barbara? Where are you at? Are you working, if you're not just like Jesus, which we aren't, are you working every day to be just like Jesus? Are you learning to tolerate or to love your husband, Catherine? There's a difference. Yeah, we can tolerate our spouse, but that's not what God wants. He said you have to love your spouse, right? I know a lot of people just tolerate, and a lot of people think their spouse is no good, and really they need to look in their inside. Their cup's dirty on the inside, right? Come on. If you want to learn to be more like Jesus, look at your children that you're raising. And how are you raising them? It's hard raising kids right now because the world has such a pull. But they should find love in the house that they live in. They should find how, you know, I was raised for a few years with a stepmother who screamed her guts out every day. And I vowed that, and you never heard screaming in my house. And that's what my grandson said, Mom, I've never heard you scream. Because I vowed my kids would never live in that atmosphere, and they didn't. So what kind of atmosphere are you bringing your kids up in? Got to think about this. Are you screaming and yelling like a maniac? Or are you taking everything to God and letting God handle it? I just told you I didn't do fair too well here for a while. But since I've given it to God, you know what? I have a perfect peace. And this is what God's trying to take us into, is peace, perfect peace. Not a make-believe peace, but a perfect peace. My own home has become a war zone. And I've had people say, where was the peace that used to be in here? But God is cleaning up the war zone. He's just not doing it fast enough for me. You know, but he is working on it. So I have to let him do everything in his timing. And in the meantime, I still have to stay in perfect peace. Sometimes you have to go in your room by yourself and bury your head in a pillow to get that perfect peace, you know. So we all have battlefields. And each one of our battlefields are different because we're all different personalities. The one thing God is dealing with here tonight, he said, this gross darkness was coming across the land, he said, was hate. And this land is full of hate. And it's in the house of God. And he wants it done away with. If you can't get the hate out of you, God will take you out of the church. That's the way it's going to work, because that's what he told me. He said, I'm not letting anybody that can't walk in love sit in my churches and kill the sheep I'm trying to send in. So see, each one of us have an assignment, and that is to get rid of the hate that we carry in our hearts and let the light of God come in, dispel all that darkness, and then start walking. Well, you're going to have to repent first and start walking in the love of Christ. And God said, he's not going to be prophesying to you people for a while because you are not heeding his voice. You are not doing the things he's told you to do, and that's why you're messed up. See, everybody wants a word, wants a word, wants a word, wants a word, but what do you do with the word? You aren't, I'm watching you, you're not changing with the word. See, you should change when God gives you a word. If he gives you a word of warning, then you need to really get serious about that word of warning, and you need to get it together. God must not talk to you all. He chastises me all the time. He does. Daughter. I said, oh, Lord, here comes the woodshed again. And then he tells me what I'm doing wrong. And then I have to admit he's right. He's always right, you know. And then I have to repent. And see, if I just get it together, I wouldn't have the woodshed experience, right? Daughter. One day he said, Barbara, see, I know your name. And he said, didn't say that nice either. So I guess y'all don't hear God's voice, because evidently he doesn't say that to you. Or else you're just saints. I don't know. Maybe you're saints and he doesn't have to chastise you. I know he says, Aaron, my son. I know he does, because God tells me when he's messing up. So I say, get him real good, God. I don't no longer say, oh, God, be nice and merciful. Just smack him really good. Then when I say my, I say, I'd like to slap you really good. Isn't that what I tell you? I'm tired of babysitting people. Y'all been with Christ long enough. You should not be needing a bottle or a diaper or being babysit. You're supposed to be out there ministering to others. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't have your own house right, don't be ministering to anybody else. Because you're ministering out of some other spirit, not the Spirit of God. I have always said that, and I believe that. That's why I sit down, and the only time God ever used me was he made me preach. But I wouldn't do nothing else, because my household wasn't right. So how could I tell somebody else how to live if I'm not living right? And that's the way I live. How do you live? I'm going to be mean and ignorant to my family, but I'm going to get on that phone. I'm going to get on Facebook, whatever you go, and I'm going to act like I'm God. Because after all, they can't see me. They don't live with me. I get some people call me and tell me what some of you put in your Facebook, and I can't believe you do that. I say, I don't know them people. They don't go to the lighthouse. I do. They know I'm lying, but... You know, God, you're supposed to be just like Jesus. Aren't you proud that you're, aren't you proud you're a forerunner? Aren't you proud that, you know, that we're special to God? Look at the signs God had us put on the door. How many of you understand those signs, you know? You're walking through, I think, what's the heavenly gates? Some of you walk through that door and you're about as angry as a bear and, you know, you don't even know the sign. I wish it'd fall down and hit your head. I'm serious. Get your attention. You know, but that's the way I am. ask Teresa, she'll tell you. Yes. I tell you the truth, because the truth is going to set you free. Yes. If I sit up and say, oh, you're so sweet, you're like a powder puff. You know, and every place you go, you have a sweet smelling smell with you. No, you stink. And this is why God's telling you this. I'm hoping that you're getting yourself together right now. And I'm hoping you're really thinking. And you know, and Chris, you ought to thank God he gave you Catherine. That she tolerated you for a season. Now she loves you. Don't you, Catherine? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You aren't going to be struck dead, are you? You have to love him in order to live with him, right? That's right. You know, we're not all lovable all the time. I can pick on them too. They don't care. They know me by now. She doesn't get embarrassed no more. Come on. Are you going to love? Are you going to quit the hate? We're vessels of honor. And we shouldn't have two faces, one for the church and one for the world. We shouldn't. Just really shouldn't. If I can do it, you can do it. If Jesus can do it, you can do it. But then we think he's some, you know, somebody's been and gone, and we're flesh and blood. We're here together. And if I can do it, you can do it. Come on. I was telling Aaron and Adrian about my life, and he said, boy, you've been through it all, haven't you? Everybody looks at me and thinks she has it made. No, I don't. I just have Jesus. And I'm not in a nut house because I have Jesus. And I can do what I do because I love people. I fell off the bandwagon here for a month or so, but I'm back on now again. And I'm back in the love box. So I'm waiting for somebody to come to this altar and say, God, forgive me for walking out of the love walk. That's what I'm waiting on. Go ahead. If you know you've walked out of the love walk and you're not being a vessel of honor for God, then you need to repent. And just don't do it to make a show either. No. Do it because you're... I know you're not. Jeez, I'm not. You don't have any more time to linger around the outskirts of heaven. God is closing the door. I had a dream, and I was going through these two vehicles, and somebody said, you're too fat to go in through there. I said, no, I can squeeze through there. So I squeezed through the entranceway between the two buildings, two cars. But then I was taking care of Isaiah, and I turned around and the door had closed. And God said, this is how quickly I'm closing the door. You know, I squeezed through, went down there and talked to Isaiah, turned around to go back out, and there was no more door. It was closed. I mean, I'm this is not me, but God was showing me something about the church. You're going to turn around and try to go through that door, and you're going to be like the 10 virgins. You know, 5 went in, the other 5 didn't. And how long ago did God tell us we were living in the place of the 10 virgins? He's been warning us. He has been warning us, and the door's getting ready to close. Which side of that door are you going to be on?